Chapter 5, At Home with the Brisbanes. It's a foggy morning in the swamp. On most mornings, you can see everything clearly. The slithering snakes, the soaring birds, the insects darting and swooping. But in the fog, nothing is clear. All I can see are shadows. But I don't know what they are. I hope the fog clears soon, because I'm getting hungry. I come out of the fog when Mrs. Brisbane begins our lessons. I'm not sure I understand what she's talking about. Nouns? Verbs? Adjectives? What kind of animals are those? The thought of being chased by an adverb frightens me. There are a lot of other things I don't understand. Why does Tabitha seem so sad and lonely, and yet she acts rude when someone else is friendly? And why on earth are the students always giggling at Humphrey's annoying tactics? I feel as useless as a toothless alligator. In the swamp, I could hop to it and get things done. I'd grab a cricket with my tongue, challenge Jumpin' Jack to a hopping contest, or discover a new puddle to soak in. Here, I watch things happening, but I can't do anything to change them. Late in the afternoon, Tabitha comes over to my tank. I hope she won't be rude to me. I think Heidi is being mean about you. I bet it's because you're new to room 26, Tabitha sighs softly. I'm new here, too. It's hard to get used to. It's not like my old school. I know, I tell her. It's nothing like the swamp, either. My loud boings make her smile. You probably don't even know what I'm saying, Tabitha tells me. I do a couple of hops and say, yes, I do. My boing boing makes her giggle. You're funny, Og, she says. Do it again. All right. I hop again because Tabitha has a nice smile. You understand me, but why do you always say boing? She asks. If I try to explain, she wouldn't understand. I would like to understand why she keeps smiling in her pocket. I don't think anybody in room 26 understands Tabitha, at least not yet. I don't think they really understand me either. I have a new foster home and a new mom, Tabitha tells me. She's nice, and Mrs. Brisbane is nice, too. But I don't feel like I really belong here. Do you? I thought I did, I answer. But now I'm confused, too. Tabitha grins. I love talking to you, she says. And when you answer back, it's almost like you understand what I'm saying. I'm trying hard to understand a lot of things, but I wish she knew that I realize how tough it is when so much has changed. After Tabitha returns to her seat, Humphrey starts squeaking nonstop. Is he jealous because she talked to me? Or does he understand her problem too? I know he didn't come from the swamp, but he might have had another home before room 26. No matter how hard I listen, one squeak still sounds exactly like another. I'm almost relieved when he stops squeaking and hops on the screeching wheel. There's so much about room 26 that is foggy to this green froggy. And then it's Friday again, and Miss Brisbane says that Humphrey is going to home with Miranda. I can tell Humphrey really likes her. He always scrambles to the front of his cage when she's nearby. I can tell that she likes him, too. Whenever she looks at Humphrey, she smiles. She must enjoy squeaking more than I do. But when Mrs. Brisbane announces the news, Humphrey's squeak sounds worried. Luckily, before Miranda's dad comes to pick up Humphrey in his cage, Miranda tells him, "Don't worry, Humphrey. My dog won't be there to bother you." My little furry neighbor perks up. "Squeak," he says. Now he's happy. I guess he doesn't care for dogs. For such a tiny creature, he sure is complicated. At least I have a nice, quiet weekend to look forward to, with no squeaking and no screechy wheels. But I am surprised when Mrs. Brisbane comes up to my tank after school and says, "Og, I am worried. I worried about you all last weekend, so I'm taking you home with me this time." If she's worried about me, she must like me at least a little bit. That makes me feel cozy as a lizard snoozing in a sunbeam. I could almost jump for joy. It seems strange to be riding in a car, especially with a blanket covering my tank. It reminds me of the bad day when I was frognapped from the swamp. I was carried away in the sack. I could hear the muffled boing, 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 boing of my friends calling to me, "Come back!" I hope they understand that I didn't have any choice. There is a surprise waiting for me at Mrs. Brisbane's house. His name is Bert Brisbane, and he is her husband. Unlike most of the humans I've met, Mr. Brisbane doesn't walk around on two legs. Instead, he gets around in a chair with wheels. The way he rolls his chair in and out of doorways and around corners is very impressive. I try to imagine myself in a chair on wheels, but it would be strange for a frog not to leap once in a while. An even bigger surprise is that from the moment Miss Brisbane carries my tank into the house, Mr. Brisbane is very interested in me. A frog? Mr. Brisbane leans in close to my tank. Where on earth did you get a frog? I told you, Bert. Angie Loomis couldn't keep him in her room anymore, so I said I'd take him, Mrs. Brisbane tells her husband. Well, I thought it was just temporary, he says. I'm glad it's not, since I never want to be near that bully bullfrog again. His name is Og, she tells him. Mr. Brisbane smiles and nods. Og the frog? I like it. But what does my pal Humphrey think of him? His pal? My teacher's husband is a friend of the little guy next door. I'm not sure, his wife says. I can't understand either of them. Then Mr. Brisbane turns toward my tank, looks me straight in the eye, and lets out a loud ribbit. I am so surprised, I hop back a few inches. Why do all humans think frogs say ribbit? He does it again in a very odd voice. Ribbit? Bert, he doesn't understand you, Miss Brisbane tells him. Why not? Her husband asks. He's a frog, isn't he? And frogs say ribbit. Not this frog, Mrs. Brisbane explains. She's right. I've never heard one of my fellow green frogs make such a silly sound, not even a bullfrog. Mrs. Brisbane leans in closer. Maybe he doesn't say anything at all, he suggests. I can't stand it any longer, so I tell him, I have a lot to say. Mr. Brisbane jerks back a few inches when he hears my boing. He looks as surprised as a flycatcher bird who's accidentally caught a bee. What on earth was that? He asks. It sounds like a broken guitar string. That's the sound this type of green frog makes, she says proudly. The scientific name is Rana clematis. I looked it up. Mr. Brisbane just stares at me. Rana clematis, he repeats. But you can call me Og, I tell him. He bursts out laughing. And then, do you know what? He lets out a very loud boing. He makes it even sound twangy the way I do. I think you two might speak the same language, Mrs. Brisbane says with a laugh. I only wish we did. As the evening goes on, Mr. Brisbane continues to watch me closely. Thank goodness Mrs. Brisbane insists that he can come to the kitchen and eat dinner. Finally, I can relax. But as soon as they finish, Mr. Brisbane rolls back to my tank and watches me. What does he think this is? Television? I'm hoping the Brisbanes will watch television, especially a nature program set outdoors. I wouldn't even mind seeing a show about hamsters if it would help me figure out Humphrey. Mr. Brisbane's pal, Humphrey. All this attention makes me a little nervous, so I slide into the water dish and soak. I think it's boring to watch someone soak, but Mr. Brisbane seems to be fascinated. He's full of questions for Miss Brisbane, who pulls up a chair next to him. Don't some frogs live in the water all the time, he asks. There are all kinds of frogs, even frogs that live in trees, she answers. That's news to me. If he had a bigger tank, he could swim around, Mr. Brisbane suggests. I pop my head out of the water. That's a great idea, I tell him. Mr. and Mrs. Brisbane both laughed at my loud boing boing. I'm still jumpy and jittery from all that staring, so I launch into my weekend workout to unwind. Hearty splashing followed by a set of jumping jacks. I'm surprised to see that the Brisbanes are impressed with my performance. Will you look at that, Mrs. Brisbane says. That's one lively frog, Mr. Brisbane replies. After that comes the foggy version of a push-up. Mrs. Brisbane gasps. I didn't know frogs could do that. I finish off with a series of big leaps. I can hardly believe my eyes, Mrs. Brisbane says when I stop. He's never behaved like that in class. I guess he wanted to put on a show for us, her husband replies. I can hardly believe how exhausted I am. If I were warm-blooded like humans, I would have broken out into a sweat. Amphibians like me don't sweat. While I'm resting, the Brisbanes talk about frogs. Mrs. Brisbane brings in several books, which they read together. Look, Mr. Brisbane points to a page. Some frogs can jump over 20 times their own body length. I certainly think Og can, Mrs. Brisbane says.
I'm glad she thinks so. Me? I'm not so sure.
That reminds me of an old joke, her husband says. What do you get when you cross a frog and a bunny? I'm thinking the answer has something to do with hopping, so I'm surprised when he tells her, a ribbit.
I guess he already forgot that green frogs like me don't say ribbit, but still it's as good as any of Kirk's jokes.
Then he has another riddle. What did the bus driver say to the toad? Mrs. Brisbane shakes her head and Bert replies, hop on. If Mr. Brisbane had ever spent time with toads, he'd know I'm nothing like them. But I don't mind. He reminds me of one of my favorite swamp creatures, Uncle Chinwag. He's a kindly old green frog who tells good stories but is also a good listener. I learned a lot from Uncle Chinwag, like how to make my boings carry a whole mile and how to catch a tiny mosquito with my big tongue. He likes to tell jokes, too. I especially like this one. What do they call an alien in the swamp?
A Martian.
I'll bet Mr. Brisbane would like that joke. But if I try to tell him, he'd just laugh at my boing, 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 boing. This frog is a treasure, Mr. Brisbane tells his wife. You should enter him in one of those frog jumping contests. They really have such things. I like the way he thinks. Of course, I've been in many frog jumping contests in the swamp. Sometimes I even won. Mrs. Brisbane sighs, I like Og, but I sure do have a problem with him. Those words would have given me a chill. But amphibians don't get chills. It's the cold-blooded thing again. But why on earth would she have a problem with me? Our classroom isn't anything like the swamp, she continues. Is he happy in his tank? I mean, Humphrey has always lived in a cage. That's different. That's the truth. This hamster is as different as any creature I've known, including crickets and mosquitoes. I didn't understand Humphrey at first, she says, but he seemed so happy. He helped the students, and when I brought him home, he cheered you up. Mr. Brisbane nods. I was pretty hard to live with after the accident that landed me here. He pats his wheelchair. But Humphrey did help.
Humphrey? Are they talking about Humphrey I know? The annoying neighbor in the cage next door?
He helps everyone, Mrs. Brisbane agrees. He really goes beyond his job as a classroom pet.
Wait a second. Being a classroom pet is a job? I never thought of that before. And if it is a real job, I'll be the first classroom pet ever to be fired.
Miss Brisbane rises. I'll make some tea. Mr. Brisbane follows. I'll get the cookies.